This is Bob Hart.
Today's date is June 14th, 1973. The time is 3:30 p.m. I will be interviewing Mr. William Rushford of William Street in Bay City. The topics to be discussed are his experiences in the coal mines with his brother in the early 1900s. Mr. Rushford, could you give us some background information on your family, such as the nationality, why and when did your family come to this area, and the reasons for going to work in the coal mines?
Gladly. My denomination is English, though my dad was born in Lancashire, Old Monkland, Scotland, of 1862. Lancashire is approximately 11 miles out of Glasgow. My dad was also a miner there for, I would say, a few years. His dad, practically a lifelong miner. They then moved to Egremont, England, for some time. Then the family came to the States and to the town of Renville, Ohio. At that time, a large coal camp. He also worked at Hillsboro, Illinois, for the Peabody Coal Company there, in mine. Then moved to Watchear, Iowa. Then took a job as a salesman for the new punch machine, so-called, at that time, as a demonstrator and salesman for a company out of St. Louis, Missouri. Around that time, the Winona Beach coal mine had begun to operate in Bangor Township. My dad was sent down with one of the machines to demonstrate it in the mine at Winona Beach. While there, he was amazed at the wonderful fishing facilities and made it known to the owner of the mine. So at that time, the owner's was, to my knowledge, the Foss, F-O-S-S, brothers from here in Bay County. When the mine closed in the year, to my knowledge, around 1908 or 1909, we moved from the old so-called Winona Beach area to the Bay City West Side. And I have been a resident of this city and county all but 2 years, which was spent on the railroad in Marshall, Michigan. My dad passed away at the age of 50 years of age in 1912.
Mr. Rushford, can you describe a day in a coal mine? You said you went down in the mines with your brother.
Yes, the date would be 57 years ago. At that time, I was 12 years old. I, as a lad, had the opportunity to go for the day, which was on a Saturday, with my elder brother, Bob Rushford, and his partner down the Robert Gage coal mine, number 6. We went down. At that time, the transportation to the mines was, you went down to Henry Street Crossing, you boarded a train which took you out to the various mines, through the Auburn area, which most of them was located, boarded the train there at Henry Street, then too was dropped off as the mines came in order. On this train ride, which had passenger coaches and was a paying proposition to my knowledge at that time, the train saw that the miners got to their various mines during the day, switched the railroad cars back and forth, went to Dow Company in Midland, done some switching there, then would return in the late afternoon of the same day at approximately 5:30 in the afternoon.
Mr. Rushford, excuse me. What time did the miners have to be at work?
We would leave here at our destination on North Henry Street by the railroad train. We had to be there at 6:30.
6:30.
So I would probably say 7:30 the miners would start. They put in 8 hours.
They had to be down in the mine at 7:30.
I would say that because they had to, it was an 8 hour what they call a shift. If you was a day worker, you had to work eight, and if you was a piece worker, if you got through quicker, and that was up to you. You know what I mean?
I see, yes. Can you give us some information on the clothing that was worn by the miners?
You changed from your civilian clothes to what they call pit clothes, which also included a miner's cap with a carbon lamp hooked to the top of the cap in what they called a wash shanty, or where you could change your attire. You were then taken down the shaft on a cage, more or less, in these days we would say elevator, in groups of possible 8 or 10 men.
Was this elevator steam or electric operated?
It would be steam at that time, because they had to put in coal, and that was it, steam. Yeah. And how's this going on yet?
Yes.
Oh, I see. Now, the depth of the average mine in this vicinity was 100 feet. And when we arrived at the bottom of the shaft, I was amazed. It looked like a village, the way it was lit up down below. We walked over to where I drove and the drivers and their empty coal cars, and would ride in to the various areas of work. Your day in what for the day. It was what it was called in a room. You possibly, it recalls to me that we went back in a good mile in this empty car. That was your free transportation into their work. After you was dropped off at your work area, your carbon lamp was your main vision from then on. Empty cars were available to loaders of the coal, and I was taken in by the so-called mule driver system. At various times during the loading, the driver and his would bring in empty cars for to be filled, take the loaded ones out, which happened possibly for at least 5 times a day. And then they hauled it down. Then they was it was taken to, after he picked up, if he had three cars, just don't, three cars, he picked up two, four, so forth. I would say in the area of what the mule could draw. I would say that 8 cars loaded would be a lot. That was run down to a certain cross road and then taken to the main shaft by electric driven motor. The motor had facilities on it that had also a trolley.
It's a regular trolley.
And they was taken down to there and they was pushed on the cages or the elevators up to what they called the tipple, and in the tipple was a man they called the check weighman. Your day's work and your coal that you loaded, also the dirt that you would have to clean up, rock and so forth, you was paid so much by the ton for that work. The man took the check off your car, which was more or less, I would say, a little brass tube, hung it up on your daily, behind your name, on the worksheet.
Can you tell me what a good day's work would be? How many tons per man?
Well, if I can recall that time, I would say how many loads went out of that. Of our place, and they had, as I say, good loading. If I said 12 cars loaded along with what they call the slag and rock, and that way, the thrill that I got. Was when the work day was over, which was, I would say, in the approximately 8 hours, and before we left what they call their mine room, there was 2 coal cutters came in with a machine to get the coal cut and marked off for them again to load the next morning, see what I mean? And if there was any to be lit or fuse to be lit, that was done by the miner. He had to stay around and do that in case that coal wasn't coming down good enough, you know what I mean? And for, as I say, pick all day without with this machine helping you out. And this, more or less, this, and sometimes the boys used some dynamite.
So they used the explosives at the last of the day.
Last of the day.
I see.
And it was a must. It was a rule, as I remember, that when you set those fuse on, you left and did not come back to see whether they was going to work or not. That was it.
Did the miner have to supply his own explosives and his own tools?
Yes. The miner had to buy his own explosives. Tools, I would say, would be such as shovels, picks, his carbon for his lights, and that was usually bought at the store. They call it their, I don't say a company store, but their office store up on we call it up. We're down below and on top, as I say. You bought that from the office, if you need it in the morning or whenever you need it. And you want me to continue some more here? Yeah.
Mr. Rushford, the day you went down into the mine with your brother, can you tell me, did you work or did you stand around and just watch? And what exactly was your brother's job?
Well, my brother was a number one miner. And his partner, if you want the name, I can give it to you, at the time was Harry Stevenson. Both gone now, you know what I mean? And as I say, it was a Saturday, it was my holiday, and it was really a good one. All I had to do is more or less watch the transactions, be out of the way when they came in with their mule, the driver, to haul the cars out, and keep out of anything falling, which more or less I was sure about that. And I was told we all had our dinner buckets, which were made of metal, and for to make sure that we put a piece of rock on top of the pail or a piece of slate to weigh it down so the rats would not remove the top and you wouldn't have no lunch at your so-called lunchtime, which you could take any time you wished.
Were there a lot of rats in the?
Yes. Yeah. Let's see. They're. How come? And I've been asked the question, how would those rats get down 100 feet? And I inquired, and they said, well, with your hay, bale hay going down at certain times of the day, and the oats or the ground food for the mules, the straw, these rats would be mixed up in that, and when they got there, they just stayed there. They might exterminate them, possibly on a holiday, gas them or so. And but then there's an old, a familiar saying, just like a ship, when the rats leave, you better. And that, whether a joke or not, I always, it stuck to my mind that if I saw a bunch of rats running in a place, I was going to follow them.
Do you know if the miners in this area used birds or anything else to tell if the air was foul gases?
We were very fortunate in this area, especially this state. I would say, to my knowledge, gas was trouble at all. Though I have heard from different miners in the old countries, such as Wales and that, I had few friends from there, that when they, before the miners went down there in the morning to their work, there was a man sent down with, he called it a canary in a cage. And if that bird died, there was no work that day, because they had to quickly dispose of them gas fumes so there would be no blow-ups. Now that is supposed to be, and this man verified that. I asked him about that.
The mules that carried the coal out, they were fed in the mines.
Yes.
Did they ever get out of the mines?
The mules were, they had stables down there, and I would, if I can recall back now, it looked to me like the United States Cavalry. Now, I might be wrong in saying that there would be 50 mules, all depend on the size of the mine. These mules were well fed, of course, had to be. They were washed off every night with a hose, examined by the boss driver, and he examined the mules to see if any of them was ruptured or disabled in any way. If not, they was put in their stables And they stayed there all the time, and to my estimation, it would be only time they would leave when the mine was what we call through. That would be, there was no more coal vein, or a strike, a lengthy strike. They would be brought up then in boxes or crates on the cage and put in either a large corral or a pasture for the duration of the strike.
They had unions then in this time.
Oh, yes.
In the mines.
Yes.
This was the United Mine Workers?
United Mine Workers, yes.
And did your brother belong to this union?
Oh, yes. Everybody that worked had to belong. You didn't work there unless you belonged. You paid a fee of joining, and you kept that membership card up. Now, as I always get, if a miner that had worked hard during the day, they always had their once a month coal miners meeting or union meeting, same as they have at the local Chevrolet and the various factories here in our town. And if you did not attend, you was fined $1. So you either was there or you got fined. They took it out of your wages. The coal company took out of your wages for the union.
When you went down into the mines, how many miners went down with you?
I would say 6 to 8 on this cage.
Do you know how many miners worked in the mine total?
At this certain mine that I
yes.
went down? I'm going to make a guess of 125. Now that would include electricians, day workers such as track layers, and drivers, of course. I always included them as a miner. Now, another, by the grace, as I always call it, during the conversation, the drivers, which were mostly young fellows, they had to be sharp, alert. It was a dangerous job. They was paid $2 for their 8 hours work. That would be in the category of the time that I'm telling you about. Now that is back, you know.
Is that more than what a miner would make?
The miner was worked on a piecework scale. His tonnage, what he put out, and was kept track of by these checks that he put on the front of his car when it was loaded, went behind his name, in the tipple by the check weighman. He was paid so much a ton.
Do you remember how much per ton or what the average day would bring?
I was always curious to know that, and not probably at the time that I went down, my brother being quite young, I did say, well, I would say to him often that how I enjoyed being down that mine and learning what the life of a miner was. And he said, well, Bill, I made at that day $11. $11 piecework, which at that time was very, very good wages.
And what year would that be in?
Let's see, that's 15, 16, 15, 15, we'll make it 15.
1915. Mr. Rushford, at the bottom of the shaft, they had arteries going out where the miners worked. Can you describe these arteries and tell us how big they were and what they looked like?
When you got off the so-called cage, as I call it, or the elevator, it was so well lit up, it appeared to me, I often made the remark, that it looked like Center and Washington Streets in downtown Bay City. But then as you went through, or your arteries let out, your electricity or your lighting system was left to your carbide lamp on the top of your head. So that was up to you to keep that and make sure that that was going to be lit at all times. And the tunnels, as shall we call them, or arteries, Some was narrow, and some not so narrow. And they would go back. To my knowledge, I believe that when we went in that morning, it seemed a good mile that we went in. Now, whether they went a mile the other way, half mile this way, it was all according to the vein of your coal.
I see. So they followed the coal vein.
Vein.
Your
I would
tunnels.
Say. Mm-hmm.
Were the tunnels tall enough for a miner to stand up in?
Yes. The only thing that you had to be careful of that trolley wire that was overhead, which furnished the power for these so-called machines. Now, if you hadn't touched the head, you went down. You could be electrocuted. And more or less, you had to be careful. Don't stretch up too far. It wasn't that high. It wasn't that high. And I throughout my lifetime, I've noticed coal miners in this vicinity always walked with a stoop, and that could be possibly why.
Was there water in the tunnels?
Water and mud. And mud. Some mines, through learning, through conversations, was very, very wet. The one I was in that day, we'd go through certain areas, the water would be dripping from what they call the roof, seepage.
Do you have any idea what temperature would be in the mines?
I offhand couldn't say. I would say cool. Cool.
And it was cool all year round?
I would, yes. And now they had what they call air pumps, which fed the fresh air down to the mine, down to the tunnels. They had a pump room, a large pump room, and that would pump that air. And also they had a safety shaft, possibly in the neighborhood of 2 blocks from the main shaft, to my knowledge, where if at any time there was a breakdown in the cages going up or down, or the power went off, the miners knew where that place was. That certain spot was marked, and they would walk up the stairway. Well, that's 100 feet down, see what I mean? You'd have to walk up 100 feet, and they had these stairways built in a triangular. You didn't go right up a ladder. You had a, they was, you know, for to come to the top.
This was their
escape.
Safety exit.
Yeah, that was a safety exit.
Were there safety inspectors at this time in mines?
To my knowledge, I would say that occasionally, I don't know how often, but the superintendent of the mine, the foreman, the miners knew what was right and wrong. Occasionally, the state had inspectors that would come around. And from my knowledge, you never knew when they was coming. They presented their card and was asked to be escorted down to look over conditions.
Do you remember any cave-ins or any?
I have heard of cave-ins, yes. And also, a very dear friend and neighbor of ours, I don't think it's would be right to mention his name, you know what I mean, was one of those that more or less defied the regulations and safety rules and went back to load the coal that he thought the dynamite and powder had shot down. And when he returned to his room after a certain length of time, that's when the powder or the explosion, and he was killed. That was, and I can remember that. Now that would be, I'd be around about 15 years old. Yeah.
Were there many such accidents in the mines in this area?
I don't recall hearing, and I'm sure that I would, especially with the different mines that my brothers worked at. They would mention so-and-so got possibly leg injured, possibly broke, or was kicked by a mule. They had their own, the miners more also had their own, they call them rescue teams. And